Today, we'd like to see the 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 to 29, under the title of Joram or Jehoram. To online with the multitude, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verses 11 and 12, then he said his countenance in a stare until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. And Hazael said, "Why is my Lord weeping?" He answered, "Because I know the evil that you will do to children of Israel. Their strongholds you will set on fire, and their young men you will kill with the sword. And you will dash their children and rip open their women with child. What should we do now to be ignorant over a potential for evil in our heart, and how should we do?" Question two, in verses 16 and 24, 16, now in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat having been king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, began to reign as king of Judah. And verse 24, so Joram rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place. Who is Joram? Each verse. Question three, in verse 18, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. What are God's punishments to Jehoram? First of all, we want to see historical background. During 852 to 841 before Christ, Joram, the ninth king, ruled Israel, the northern kingdom, while Elisha, the prophet, made a prophecy. Then the southern kingdom of Judah was ruled by Jehoram, the fifth king. But Joram is an abbreviated name of Jehoram, like Chuck of Charles. So both of who had the same name, Joram or Jehoram, were kings. Both were the brothers-in-law between Ahab's son and Ahab's son-in-law. Ahab, as the son of Omri, was the worst king, and his wife was Jezebel, worshiping Baal, in the 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He had over 70 children. His daughter was Athaliah, who married Jehoram, the fifth Judah's king, whose father, Jehoshaphat, the first Judah's king, who was good. In the 2 Kings chapter 8, 2 Kings chapter 8 and 9, Joram or Jehoram, the ninth Israel king, and Ahaziah, the sixth Judah's king, who visited in Israel, as well as Jezebel, the other 70 sons of Ahab were killed by Jehu, the captain of the army of Israel. Jehu became the 10th Israel king. Then, in the last chapter 8, Syrian armies fled in the 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 6. Because the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariot and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of Hittite and the kings of Egyptians to attack us." So Syrians fled to Syria. Today, chapter 8, verses 1 to 6, regards the property of a Shunammite woman ministered by Elisha restored by Joram, the king of Israel. Verses 7 to 15, Hazael assassinated Sik Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. Verses 16 to 29, kings of Israel and Judah, Joram or Jehoram. Verses 1 to 6, the property of a Shunammite woman ministered by Elisha, restored by Joram, the king of Israel. First one, then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, "Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, because the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years." So here, Elisha told the two women after he rose the dead son to be alive, women should leave from the land of Israel because the land of Israel would have a famine for 7 years. Then she and her family members moved to Philistine in this chapter. Here, the theological term typology. Here, the woman is a type of Israel, and her son is a type of Jesus Christ, because her son was dead, but was alive by Elisha. The 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 34, here how Elisha raised up the dead son. He went up and lay on the child, he meaning Elisha, and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. So, women's son becomes alive from the dead state.
Okay, thank you.
Then, here, a famine. Famine is a punishment of God because of Ahab's evil Baal worshiping. So, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38. And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Israel land, the famine is coming because Ahab, the worst evil king who worshiped the Baal, he introduced the Baal into Israel's people. That's why God gave 7 years of famine. It will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose, and according to the saying of the man of God, man of God is Elisha, because Elisha the prophet, he is delivering God's word. That's called the man of God. And she went, Shunammite woman went with her household, her family members, and dwelt in the land of the Philistine. So 7 years. So he left from the land of Israel to be famine for 7 years and reside in Philistine. Then after 7 years, which means at the end of famine, she came back to the land of Israel. It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of Philistine, and she went to make an appeal to the king. Here, Israel kings named Joram, or Ahab's son, for her house and for her land. Her house and her land called as her property. She went, which means then, somebody occupied her house and land in Israel while she and her household lived in the land of Philistine. That's why she claimed her house and her land to Israel king Joram. Then the king Joram talked with Gehazi. Gehazi, he was the former servant of Elisha. So basically, the king need witness, testimony. Former servant Elisha Now Gehazi is a leper for bribery from Naaman. The 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 26, 27, what happened? Then he said to him, Elisha said to Gehazi, did not my heart go with you when the man or Naaman turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servant? So Gehazi received a lot of bribery from Naaman, because Naaman was cured from leprosy to be a healthy man. Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you, to Gehazi, and your descendant forever. And he went out from his presence leprous. So Gehazi was a leper, as white as snow. So leper Gehazi gave a testimony about his former master, employer, Elisha's ministry, amazing ministry. The servant of a man of God saying, tell me, please, all the great thing Elisha has done or Elisha has ministered. Now it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead son to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king of Israel, Joram, for her house and for her land. So appealing her restoration over her property, which is house and land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is a dead woman, and this is her son, which Elisha, my former master, restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him, so the king appointed a certain office for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds or all the fruits of the field, of the land, from the day that she left the land until now. So 7 years, during 7 years, the fruit of the land shall be subjected to woman. So here, her property and its fruit, like when Israel accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, Israel's old land and its fruit will be restored. That's called typology in theological term. Verses 7 to 15, Hazael assassinated the Sikh Ben-Hadad, the Syrian king. Verse 7, then Elisha went to Damascus. Damascus, the capital city of Syria, and Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God, or Elisha, has come here. And the king said to Hazael, Hazael, the captain of a Syrian army, take a present or take a gift in your hand and go to meet the man of God, Elisha, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover from this disease? This meaning, am I fatal? Shall I recover from this disease? His question shows all human being fear of death. That is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says, the all human being fear of death. Here, release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subjected to bondage. So all human beings will die physically. So when we are born, we have subconsciously or consciously fear of death. That's why Jesus coming. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 said, in as much as then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus Christ himself likewise shared in the same. Jesus, original God, became a human being. They call incarnation human being. So he experiences all human beings, sickness, hunger, everything. So that through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So when Jesus resurrected, Jesus got victory, the power of death, that is the devil. So that's why Jesus released those who through fear of death. So all human beings who have a fear of death, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith itself gives us release the fear of death, because all believers shall have everlasting life without death. So that is, we can see, shall I recover from this disease? The king actually questioned, am I fatal from this disease? So we are seeing the even king, Syrian king, has a fear of death. So Hazael, the captain of a Syrian army, went to meet him, Elisha, and took a present with him over every good thing of Damascus, 40 camel loads, a lot of gifts. And he came and stood before him and said, your son, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent to me, me meaning Hazael, to you. You means Elisha, saying, shall I recover from this disease? Or shall Ben-Hadad recover from this disease? And Elisha said to him, go say to him, you shall certainly recover. So Ben-Hadad shall surely recover. However, but the Lord has shown me that he will really die. But Ben-Hadad will really die. That is verse 15. Actually, Hazael will assassinate Ben-Hadad. That's why Ben-Hadad, the Syrian king, was dead. Then verse 11, then he set his countenance in a stare until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. So here, Elisha is weeping, looking at Hazael's face until Hazael is ashamed. Why? That's why verse 12, Hazael asks question, why is my Lord weeping? Because Elisha, seeing Hazael's evil heart, he answered, because I know the evil, that evil, that you or Hazael will do to the children of Israel, their strongholds, you will set on fire, and their young men you will kill with the sword, and you will dash their children and rip open their women with child. So Elisha, seeing Hazael will give a lot of killed a lot of Israel people, also destroy children, also pregnant women, as well. So today is in chapter, the Israel king is Joram also was hurt by Hazael, the new Syrian king. Here, verse 11, 12, Elisha stared intently at Hazael. So Elisha wept because of the evil of Hazael in his heart. So Bob, verse 12, Hazael was ignorant over his evil. So the question is, what should we do not to be ignorant over a potential for evil in our heart? That's question one. So what should we meaning we are the children of God, or you know, non-Christian too. What should we do not to be ignorant of a potential for evil in our heart? That requirement is a self-examination. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So we should examine by ourselves, or we should judge by ourselves, or I should judge by myself. Next question, how should we do? How we should do? First one, we need Holy Spirit. So pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26-27, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, our simple heart, our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Now, he also searches the heart's knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints or born-again Christian, the children of God, according to the will of God. So that's why is we should ask the Lord, or we should pray to the Lord, Lord, reveal my heart. Lord, let me know my heart. You know, that kind of prayer request, through, because the Holy Spirit, you know, helps us. Then we need the God's word, the God's word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is a discerner. Amen. Discerner. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Which part is a soul? Which part is a spirit? The word of God can tell us which part subjected to soul or which part subject to spirit. And of joints and marrow. So backbone there, some joint is a bone, but inside is a marrow. Is a discerner of the thought, just thought, and intents of the heart. Sometimes the intent, just the brainstorming thought. The word of God can discern which part belongs to thought, which part is intention or motivation. So that we need word of God. Third, we should see our work, because our work proves our faith, which is true or false. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This word of God is not logos, writing. This word of God is a heartened word or oral word. So this is the word of God. So we should hear the word of God. So hearing by the word of God comes faith. Then, whether or not faith is true or false, James chapter 2, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So when sometimes we know the Bible verse and understanding, but how should I or we examine ourselves, the knowing or the faith is true or no, then we can see our works, our action. So our consequences by themselves prove our faith is true or false. So this way we can. So the question answers, we need a self-examination in order to see our heart, true heart. Then we need a supportive help through prayer, then God's word, then faith, then work. Work is approval, work is evidence. Then verse 13, so Hazael, the captain of Syrian army, said, but what is your servant, a dog, that he should do this gross thing, or this gross evil thing? So am I dog, to destroy the children of Israel, set on fire to Israel's strongholds, also kill young men or kill the pregnant woman. So like Dor, so which means Hazael does not recognize his own hidden evil heart. And Elisha answered, "The Lord has shown me that you will become king of Assyria." Then he departed from Elisha and came to his master, Ben-Hadad, the Syrian king, who said to him, "What did Elisha say to you?" And he answered, "He told me, you would surely recover. But it happened on the next day. Tomorrow, he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it over his face so that he died." Basically, he choked his master, Ben-Hadad, who was assassinated. And Hazael reigned in his place. Then verse 16 to 29, kings of Israel and Judah, Joram or Jehoram. Here, now in the 5th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Joram's northern kingdom, king Jehoshaphat, having been king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, began to reign as king of Judah. The author said, northern kings named Joram, southern king named Jehoram. Joram is a shortened name of Jehoram. So which means we can use interchangeably Joram, Jehoram. So in this book also, the talk about is Joram. Here, verse 23, now the rest of the acts of Joram. This Joram, not Israel king. This Joram is the Judah king. Because Joram is an abbreviated name of Jehoram. So Jehoram can use Joram name. Joram can use a long name, Jehoram too. So that part made readers confusion. So Joram, whose Joram was the king of Israel. So 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1, both Joram are brothers-in-law. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab, the Israel king. So Joram, Jehoram, are brothers-in-law. Verse 17, he was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, which means he was dead 40 years old. And he walked in the way of the king of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, which means Ahab is his father-in-law. So he followed his father-in-law Ahab, who was the worst evil king. For he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet, however, the Lord would not destroy Judah. Why? The Lord, the sake of his servant David. So Lord made a promise with David, as he promised him to give a lamp to him and his sons forever. This particular verse 19, the 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 29, 36. So 1 Kings chapter 11, 29. Now it happened at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite met him on the way, and he had clothed himself with a new garment, and the two were alone in the field. So Ahijah, the prophet, said, "And to his son I will give one tribe, that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem the city which I have chosen for myself to put my name there. So God made a promise here. We can see God is what a faithful and merciful God. So God did not destroy Judah completely, although the Judah king followed Ahab's evil ways. Then is what's God's punishment? Here, partial God's punishment here, verse 20. In his days, or Jehoram's day, Edom revolt against Judah's authority. So Edomites revolt and made a king of themselves. So Edomite declared its independence from Judah. So Joram, or Jehoram, went to Jer and all his chariots with him. Then he rose by night and attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him and the captains of the chariot, and the troops fled to their tent. So, which meaning Joram's soldiers were defeated by Edomite. Thus, Edom has been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day. And Libnah revolted at that time too. So Edomite, Libnah's nation declared independence from Judah. That's the consequence of God's judgment to Jehoram or Joram's following Ahab's wicked way. Then verse 23, now the rest of the acts of Joram, Judah king, or Jehoram, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Here the Bible says kings of Judah, not kings of Israel. So Joram rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Ahaziah, his son, reigned his place. Joram, or Jehoram, the king of Judah, died. So Ahaziah, his son, Ahaziah's father's name was Jehoram, or Joram, and Ahaziah's uncle's name, by mother's side, also was Joram, or Jehoram. Then verse 25, in the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, here Israel king, so his uncle, by mother's side, the king of Israel, Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, so Ahaziah is Joram's nephew, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem, only 1 year, because Ahaziah was assassinated by Jehu, the captain of Israel army, because Ahaziah visited in his uncle Joram, who was in Jezreel. Jezreel is the summer palace of Israel. So that time is in Israel, Jehu made a coup, so killed Israel king Joram or Ahaziah uncle by mother's side, and Ahaziah too. So that's why he was killed, so he reigned only 1 year. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. Omri was the father of Ahab, so Ahab's daughter, and did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Here, not the son-in-law of Ahab, here, the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. So the son-in-law of Ahab was his father, Jehoram, or Joram. So through his father as the son-in-law of Ahab, Ahab's evil way came into Judah. Now he went with Joram, the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael. Here, Hazael so become king of Syria. So Hazael wounded Israel king Joram at the Ramoth Gilead, and Syrians wounded Joram. the Israel king, or the uncle of Ahaziah, the king Joram went back to Jezreel. Jezreel, the location of a summer palace of Israel, to recover from the wound which the Syrians had inflicted on him at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab, or his uncle by mother's side, in Jezreel, because he was sick. So his sick uncle by his mother's side, in the next chapter, Jehu, the captain of an army in Israel, killed both the kings and Ahab's wife, Jezebel, and other 70 sons of Ahab as well in the next chapter. Let's see each question answered. In verses 11, 12, there he set his countenance in a stare until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept, and Hazael said, "Why is my Lord weeping?" He answered, "Because I know the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds you will set on fire, and their young men you will kill with the sword, and you will dash their children and rip open their women with child. What should we do not to be ignorant of a potential for evil in our heart?" That answers self-examination or self-judgment. And how should we do? First, we need to separate through prayer, help, then God's word, then faith, then work. Work as evidence for my faith is true or false. The question two, in verse 16 and 24, 16, "Now in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat having been king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, began to reign as king of Judah." And verse 24, "So Joram rested with his father and was buried with his fathers in the city of David." Not city of Samaria, city of David. "Then Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place." Who is Joram? So verse 16 is, 16, Joram is the king of Israel, Ahab's son. Verse 24, Joram is the king of Judah, Ahab's son-in-law. That's the answer, although same name, Joram. So question three, in verse 18, "And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. What are God's punishment to Jehoram?" That is verse 24. The answer is Edomite, and 22, verse 22, Edomite and Libnah made a revolt against Judah. That's your answer. Let's just sing song all together. The one more thing, then we are closing in Lord's Prayer. Today's we are listening.